audiobooks are a big business. Over the years, they've gone from books on tape to CDs to downloads. Now they can make another big move from paying per title to streaming. Last year, Spotify announced a new program to offer 15 free hours of audiobooks to premium customers at no extra cost. If that model expands, our next guest says the publishing industry will go through a radical transformation, similar to the one the music industry has done over the last few decades, with vanishing profit for artists and potentially a shrinking market for new material. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you listen to audiobooks? How and where do you get them? And do you use Spotify? How has Spotify changed the way you listen to music? Could it change the way you read, or in this case, listen to, books? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Kim Scott is the author of the book Radical Candor, Be a Kick-Ass Boss Without Losing Your Humanity and Radical Respect, and a former technology executive in the past working at Google, Apple, and elsewhere. Kim, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much. I'm excited for our conversation.
All right, I gave a very basic taste of how the Spotify book model would work. Spell it out for us a little more, please.
So basically what will happen is if you're a Spotify premium user, as far as I understand, you will be able to, instead of listening to music or listening to a podcast, you'll be able to choose 15 hours worth of audiobooks. And so if you start reading a book that is only 10 hours and you read, you know, only a couple hours of it and you get bored, then you can start another book. So it sounds pretty good for users. The problem is what it does for writers. On average, when a person starts an audiobook, they listen to about half of it. And so right off the bat, Spotify is only going to pay authors 50% of what they would otherwise get. If you go to Audible and buy an audiobook, even if you only listen to half of it, the writer still gets paid their royalty. And it's not like writers are getting rich. I want to say that, too. It's not like, you know, even for a pretty successful book, I think writers already make only about $1 a book or something.
Now, you, in a piece in the New York Times, compare this to how Spotify and some other streaming platforms have changed music.
Yes.
Could you talk through what you see happening there that could make this audiobook change scary, especially for the creators?
So basically what has happened in the music industry is that the music labels were, they sort of handed over their whole, you know, all of the songs that they had ever produced to Spotify. And now musicians get paid very, very little. There are a few musicians who get paid well, but it's very much a rich get richer algorithm on Spotify. So a small number of musicians are getting all of the money. And if you want to break into the music business and you're a successful but not a wildly successful musician, you get paid basically nothing. And that is, it means that it's impossible to make a living for most musicians, just as it will become even harder than it already is to make a living as a writer.
You point toward a paradox in that piece I mentioned. The idea is, hey, streaming makes it easy for you, band people, musicians, to create music and things like that. But it may be harder because people can't make a living doing it. We are actually seeing a decline in some cases in fresh new content.
Yes. The new music that is being launched, that the size of that business has actually shrunk because people can't afford to be musicians. And this is something, you know, I have some personal experience with. Earlier, before I became a writer, I managed the AdSense network at Google. And we used to say at Google, and we believed this, I mean, our intentions were truly good. We would say we're funding creativity a nickel at a time. You know, now you can just, if you want to write something, you can publish it, you can put ads against it, and you can start making money right away. But the problem, of course, is that the only people who made enough money to put food on the table were the upper 1/10 of 1% of people who were in the network. And the rest of people were making, you know, even people producing great content were making like $5 a month. And that's just not enough to live on.
We're talking to Kim Scott, author of the book Radical Candor, former technology executive. She wrote a piece about Spotify getting into the audiobooks market. Instead of paying for a title, say, you would, as part of your membership, get to stream a certain amount. She says that could really shake up the audiobook business in a way that's bad for people who want to write and create books. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Are you an audiobook listener? How do you do it? Are you an author? Are you worried about this change? If you're a musician, how has streaming changed your musician life? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. All right, Kim, we've talked about the music streaming as maybe a sign of things to come for audiobooks. Now, in the publishing world, first of all, people might say, oh, audiobooks, no big deal. The main thing is we read books, right? Well, as I understand it, audiobooks these days, big business, big part of the publishing industry's business model.
Yes, and crucially, it's the growing part. In fact, the number of physical books that have been sold has actually declined in the last 5 years. But the audiobooks portion of the market is what's really growing. Because, like, I don't know about you, but I'm busy. I read probably, as my children say, you don't read them, you listen to them, Kim and Mom. but I listen to, probably 3 books a week. But the only reason I have time to do that is because I listen while I'm taking a walk, while I'm doing the dishes, while I'm weeding, while I'm doing other things. And I think that's why that part of the market is growing, is that it's really convenient to listen to a book while you're commuting to work or something.
Now, talk us through how publishers are reacting to this thing from Spotify. Are they panicking and boycotting, or are they jumping in and saying, yes, please, line up our catalogs, let's see what happens?
Well, different publishers are reacting differently. I'm proud to say that my publisher, which is St. Martin's Press, gave me a choice as the writer. Did I want to participate or did I not want to participate? But there are some other publishers who just sort of handed over their whole portfolio of audiobooks and without asking permission of the authors. And I think that's pretty rough on the writers. And I think, the promise, I always like to listen to both sides. And Spotify, to their credit, they called me up, they explained it to me, and they believe, and I think they genuinely believe this, they believe that this is going to expand the number of readers for books. And so even though you'll only get, on average, half the royalty per reader, you'll get so many more readers, you'll make up for it in volume. I haven't seen any data that proves that is true. And my assumption is that it's incorrect, but I could be wrong here. I mean, I'm not omniscient, but what I know about the way that platforms work, technology, and I know something about this from my previous career, mm-hmm. What I know about the way that tech platforms work says to me that what'll happen is the tech platform will get a bunch of users because they'll be offering this great deal on the content. And then they'll start taking more and more and more out of the content creator's piece of the action because they can, because the content creators kind of have to be on the platform. And then the content creators can no longer afford to create content, so they go get quote-unquote real jobs.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Linda is with us in Pleasant Prairie. Linda, hi.
Hi. I have been listening to audiobooks for, probably at least 30 years. When I was working, I had a 2-hour commute every day, and
wow.
That really saved me. But it saved me. I'd look forward to getting in the car and listening to an audiobook. I still listen to audiobooks. I love it when I'm working or making pottery. I get mine through the library. I always have. I started with the cassette tapes and then the CDs. And now I download it directly onto my phone and listen that way. I am you know, Spotify thinks that 15 hours of an audiobook is a good deal.
Yeah, that's nothing, right?
It's nothing. Most of the books that I listen to are close to that length anyhow. So I'd be very concerned about this, and I think that artists should get paid well for what they do. It'd be very, very sad if we just kind of make this into almost a sort of plastic experience where everything's kind of the same.
Linda, thanks a lot for the call. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Kim.
No, I totally agree with you. And I want to sort of plus one what you said about libraries offer a wonderful service. And so many of my readers got my book from the library. So I love the library point. And I just read Middlemarch or listened to Middlemarch. And that's 32 hours. You know, it would have been terrible to stop in the middle of the book.
Thanks again for that call, Linda. We're talking to Kim Scott, author of the book Radical Candor, former executive at Apple and Google. She's talking with us about a piece she wrote for the New York Times. Remember what Spotify did to the music industry? Books are next. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are your thoughts on Spotify at least dipping its toes in this idea of streaming audiobooks, X amount of audiobook time for you with your membership? Are you an audiobook listener, reader, how do you do it? Do you want to see this streaming option, or do you want to just get the titles you want? If you're a writer or a music creator, because there's a similar story there, love to hear from you about your experiences. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about how Spotify may change the publishing industry by making audiobooks available as a streaming service. Our guest is Kim Scott, author of the book Radical Candor, former technology executive, in the past working at Apple, Google, and elsewhere. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you purchase audiobooks? Do you get them from the library? If they're part of a streaming service, Spotify or elsewhere, would you want to listen to them that way? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@wpr.org. Let's go back to your calls. We've got J.A. with us in Phillips. J.A., hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, Rob.
What did you want to tell us about? You're an author, I understand.
I am an author. Been a professional full-time author since about 2001. And as far as big shot publishers go, mainstream publishers, the contracts are pretty much what you'd expect from any big business to artists. The contracts are unconscionable, and the authors make next to nothing for books that are sold. For example, when my books were in bookstores all over the nation and the world, or when they were in Walmart, on a $7.99, $8.99 paperback, an author makes about 40 to 50 cents. And that's if they're selling lots and lots of copies. It's less than that if they sell fewer than that. On a hardcover, $25 hardcover, you're going to make about $3. So I worked very hard in the publishing industry, and I sold hundreds of thousands of hardcovers and paperbacks in the fiction, mystery, thriller, and horror fields. And then, lo and behold, this company named Amazon came along, and Amazon invented this e-reader called a Kindle. And what's wonderful about the Kindle, other than the fact that it could deliver books to you instantly, anywhere where there's any sort of internet service. What else is wonderful about it for authors is it finally paid you as an author. So rather than getting 6% for a paperback off of the cover price, you're making 70% of the price you set. So on a $5 Kindle book, I'm making over $3.
Now, Jay, I want to ask, since we've got this audiobook thing going, have you done audiobooks either with a publisher or, since it sounds like you're self-publishing now?
Well, I've done both.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, the largest independent audiobook publisher was a publisher called Brilliance Audio, located out of Grand Haven, Michigan. And they were great to work with. They were a lot of fun. I got to appear as a voice of some of my characters on many of my early audiobooks. And again, the pay was okay. I mean, you can't complain if you win the lottery and you finally get that dream agent and you get that publishing deal. And I made decent money publishing, but I didn't make as much as my publishers did. Both the print publishers and the audiobook publishers. So Brilliance would sell an audiobook for up to $40-$50 for library copies, and I'd make a couple of bucks or less than that.
Interesting. Jay, I'm going to jump in because we don't have a ton of time left, and I want to bring Kim here. Now, some authors have done really well in self-publishing, you know, e-books. There's a little more production, a whole other kind of production involved in audiobooks. Is this, do you see this as a possibility for authors to get around not just the publishers, but, say, a Spotify streaming platform if they're making their own audiobooks?
I think it's pretty hard. I mean, my experience, and I'd love to hear from the caller. I wrote 3 unpublished novels and self-published them. And I just wasn't able to get traction with those books in the way I did publishing through my publisher. So I did much better with a traditional publisher than I did on my own. But so hats off to this caller for figuring out how to sell his self-published books. There's a lot of different ways to read your books, to self-publish your books. There are very few authors I know of who have been able to succeed in that way. But I remain optimistic. I think that the idea of funding creativity a nickel at a time still appeals to me. I mean, it would be nice to live in a world in which anybody could write anything, put it out there in the world, and it would have a fair shot at getting discovered. But I don't think that's the world we live in yet.
Thanks a lot for that call again, J.A. Now, Kim, let's use the word discovered. And I want to talk about discovery because you write about this in your piece. You know, when you're on a streaming platform, any kind of streaming platform, an algorithm is going to make suggestions to you.
Yes.
We have a sense so far of what Spotify is recommending to us when we try to stream audiobooks.
Well, it would appear that they are recommending books that either are out of copyright, and so they don't have to pay anything for those books. So on the day that it launched, a lot of people were having Karl Marx recommended to them, which, you know, didn't seem like the thing that most of us
want to
read.
Seems like there might be some socialist programmer who, like, pranked that in there. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot of socialists working at Spotify, but I could be wrong. I think there was a Britney Spears book. So, and this is what happens. I said before that these kinds of tech platforms tend to have a rich get richer algorithm. And the reason for that is not necessarily insidious, but because the way that the algorithms work is that they figure out, you know, sort of what you're looking for. And then they also know what most other people like. And so they tend to recommend to you what most other people are reading. So, or listening to. And so as something gets more popular, it gets recommended more often, and then it gets more popular. That's what I mean by a rich get richer algorithm. And the problem with that is that if Spotify is sending most listeners to just a few different pieces of content, a few different books or a few different podcasts, then the so-called long tail, all these other smaller podcasts and books and musicians, they don't get discovered. Only the big ones do. But then there's another confounding factor, which is, you know, Spotify has maybe cut a deal with those really big musicians or authors or podcasters. And so it doesn't cost them incrementally more money to send you to them. And so they send more of you, more of that kind of content that they don't have to pay for your way. Or they can encourage people who on the other end of the spectrum, you know, who are teeny tiny, who've not yet been discovered and who are willing to give their content away for free in order to get discovered. And so then they wind up sending you this kind of content that you don't really want. And in the case of books, because of copyright, they may send you Das Kapital when that's not what you're interested in reading today.
And just our last few moments. Another problem. Now, we've already seen on Spotify, people are creating like noise tracks, gibberish tracks. YouTube, people are, I have a 6-second Simpsons clip. That's what my channel is. People putting up stuff either free or AI created or copyright infringing. Yeah. That might be the wave of the future with these audiobooks.
Yes. I mean, once you add ads into the equation, then I think you all talked earlier this month about the impoopification of content by this article by Cory Doctorow.
Right.
Once you create ads and anybody can put up gibberish and then put ads next to it and make money, that really messes up the program. And then there's another thing to consider, which is the market. The stock market is rewarding. So I don't blame the CEO of Spotify for doing what he's doing. I would probably do the same thing if I were the CEO of Spotify, because I'd get punished by the market if I didn't do it. And so I think the only way, I went to business school, blah, blah, blah. But I think the only solution is some regulation, unfortunately, because if the logic of the algorithm and the logic of the market is pushing things in a way that is bad for content creators and ultimately bad for society, that's why we have regulation. That's why we have a government to take.
Thanks to our guest, Kim Scott, author of the book Radical Candor. We've been talking about Spotify, streaming, audiobooks in the future. This is Central Time.